I love how you told that story, Rebbe.
Well, listen, my dear friend Yitzchak. Yitzchak Wolf, it's so kind of you to come along and to drive me from place to place. You know, this is a Masaira that I had for my Rebbeim for many years. I travel from town to town, and I tell Yiddish Kinderlach, like I just did, the story of Chanukah. Okay, Yitzchak, you're going to be driving the wagon for me, right?
Sure, it's a big schuss for me to drive you, Rebbe.
Okay. Did you load everything onto the wagon we need for our next stop to teach little Yiddish Kinderlach what Chanukah is all about?
I don't know. My hands are still shaking. I don't like headless stories. I like stories where people keep their heads on.
Well, it was a big rush. Is everything on the wagon?
Yes, sir. Everything is on the wagon. I put all the dreidels and the menorahs and the latkes and pictures of elephants.
And what?
Pictures of elephants. Elephants has a lot to do with the Hanukkah story, doesn't it?
I guess so. Okay. Well, thank you, Yitzchak. Let's get going. Okay. Are the horses rested?
My horses are always rested.
Okay. Tell me something. Yitzchak, do you know the whole story of Hanukkah?
Well, if I travel along with you, I'll hear, you know, the story of Yehudas in different stories, and eventually I'll know the whole story.
Well, while we're traveling, suppose I tell you a little bit about some of the history of Hanukkah.
That would be nice, Rebbe. That would be very nice. But really, I know everything.
You do?
Yeah, sure.
Let me ask you, Yitzchak. What came first, Hanukkah or Purim?
Yeah, what came first? Hanukkah came first.
Really? Why do you think that way?
It's simple. A Hanukkah vacation comes before Purim vacation.
Oy vey. My dear Talmud, do you know that the Purim story took place in between the first and second Beis Hamikdash, and that the Hanukkah story took place during the second Beis Hamikdash?
Oops.
Oops is right. Do you know where we are right now? I don't know. It looks like you're lost.
We're in between the second and third Beis Hamikdash, much closer to the third.
I meant to say, where are we on the road?
Oh, we're going to the next town. Don't worry. I never, ever get lost. Most of the time.
Okay. Do me a favor, Yitzchak. Watch the road. Watch the road.
What road? What road? I don't see any road. That's the problem. You're off the road. Oh, sorry, man.
Maybe it's better that I shouldn't talk to you while you're driving.
No, just the opposite. This way I won't fall asleep.
Okay. If you feel that way. We should be arriving in the next town in about 20 minutes. So let me tell you a little bit about Hanukkah. Once upon a time... Yitzchak, wake up!
No, I'm okay. I always sleep my time.
Yitzchak.
You know, Rabbi, some people think that the Yavanim were... They don't know. They were in the Teva. You know that? When I was little, I used to think the Yavanim were in the Teva with Noya.
You know something, Yitzchak? In a sense, it's true.
It's what?
It's true. I mean, Noach gave Yefes a special bracha. And doesn't Yavan come from Yefes?
I don't know. Does he? What does Yavan have to do with the Hanukkah story anyway?
Yitzchak. The Yavanim are the Greeks.
Oh.
The Greeks, you know, they Noach gave them a special bracha that they should control the entire world.
Really?
That's right.
They were really great, the Greeks?
Were they great? Here, let me show you something over here that Rabbi Yehuda Halevi wrote about the Greeks. I have it written down.
Does Rabbi Yehuda Halevi know you have his paper?
Rabbi Yehuda Halevi lived about 1,000 years ago, Yitzchak.
If he didn't ask for it back by now, you don't have to worry about it.
Here, listen to what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi said. Look carefully, my friend, and understand. Avert your tread from snares and thorns.
My driving is that bad?
No. This is what Rabbi Yehuda Halevi is saying. Be not misled by the wisdom of the Greeks, which bears not any fruit, but only flowers. The Greeks had a tremendous kayach. I mean, they had a bracha. The Torah says, Yaftu lekin liyafes v'yishkain v'yahol Hashem. If the Greeks would have used their power to help Shem, they would have been zaycha to this world and that world. But because they used their power to go against Shem, they lost both that world and this world.
You mind if I ask you, Rebbe, where did the Greeks live?
Where did the Greeks live? Where do you think they live?
In Budapest.
Listen, in the times of Shlomo HaMelech, most of Europe was uninhabited. Eventually, Yefes' son Yavan moved to Greece.
Just him, all alone?
No, him and his entire family. And they settled in different areas. But there were huge mountains separating them.
Ah, that's what they needed the elephants for, to carry them over the mountains?
We'll get to the elephant part of the story soon.
The Greeks were smart, weren't they?
They studied hard and learned from anyone who was around them.
Like me.
They learned to read and write.
Like me. One day I'll also learn how to read and write.
They became big thinkers. They called it philosophy. But unfortunately, they used their talents to steer away from the ship.
Look out for that tree! What tree? I don't see any tree. Oh, this tree. Sorry. You just started talking about steering away, so I got confused.
Concentrate on the road.
Well, when you mentioned philosophy. Whatever. Anyway, if the Greeks were so smart, they probably threw away all their vitasaurus, right?
No, just the opposite. They were very steeped in idol worship. They were below standard in terms of their morals. For example, in the Greek island of Sparta, in order for a baby to live, they had to determine that he was potentially a good soldier.
I mean, if the baby looked like too smart, what did they do?
They got rid of it. When children were born in Sparta, they were right away taken off to a camp where they were trained to be soldiers.
What did they do there?
They had to learn to walk on nails, to walk on fire, carry rocks over mountains for days on end. They had to dodge swinging swords.
Yikes! And I thought the camp I was in this summer was bad. See, you should never complain. They're meshuggah.
No, Yitzchak. They were not meshuggah. They were treacherous, sneaky, and vicious. But not crazy. Did you ever hear the story of the Trojan horse?
I don't even know the story of my own horses.
Well, once they couldn't get into a city, so they decided they're going to give a big wooden horse as a present to the city. And when they opened up the door and they pushed in the big wooden horse, they all jumped out and killed all the inhabitants of the city.
A bandar mechatzofim, if you ask me.
You know, Nebuchadnezzar had a dream. And he saw that a time will come that Babel will be in power, Paras will be in power, and Yav will be in power. We have to go through all the different gullahs until Mashiach comes, and Yavin was one of the gullahs.
Antiochus in the Hanukkah story, was he the first Greek king?
No. The first famous Greek king was Alexander. They called him Alexander the Great.
Yeah, like me, I would like to have a last name like that. Yitzchak the Great. Sounds good, huh?
No, doesn't. Look, he conquered most of the civilized world. He destroyed huge armies. People were scared of him.
Oh, that's like me, though.
I'll tell you, maybe he wasn't modest, but he sure got a good lesson in modesty. The Gemara says that Alexander was once sitting near a water, and he was washing off his fish. He smelled something, and he said,
I smell the fragrance of Gan Eden. Let me follow this water. Where does it lead to? Ah, the gates of Gan Eden. Let me in! Let me in!
Sorry. Zehashar Lashem Tzadikim Yavoloi.
You won't let me in, but I'm Alexander the Great!
Not up here, you're not.
Oh, give me out something from Gan Eden so I can see what it is. Ouch! What's this? Oh, a skull. Let me put it on the scale. Very heavy skull. Let me put my crown on the other side. Let me put some more gold on the other side. Why, the skull is still heavier. Let me take all the gold in my treasures and put it on the other side of the scale. I don't believe it. All of my gold cannot outweigh this skull. Rabbis, come here. What is the meaning of this? Why?
Alexander, this is a lesson. The human being wants more and more. And the richer he gets and the wealthier he gets, in a sense, he's only poorer because he wants more and more.
Prove it to me!
Take some dust and throw it over the eyes of the skull.
All right. Whoa, now my gold came down.
As long as the person isn't looking at others, all of a sudden he is happy with what he has.
Really? That's what the Gemara says about Alexander?
That's right.
Say, if Alexander conquered the whole world, did he conquer the Beis Hamikdash?
Almost.
Almost? What happened?
Well, Alexander was conquering the world, and when he came to Eretz Yisrael...
He came with elephants?
I told you. When we get to the elephant part, I'll tell you.
Sorry.
When he came to Eretz Yisrael, the Yidden had a great leader by the name of Shimon HaTzadik, and he was Hashem's shliach to save them.
Shimon HaTzadik fought a brave war against Alexander.
Ach, not at all. When Yidden are Zaycha, we don't need wars. We immerse ourselves in Torah and Avodah and fight all our battles then.
I get it. We immerse ourselves in Torah and Avodah, and then the elephants come and they do all the fighting for you.
Yitzchak, please don't talk about elephants again. He was marching toward Eretz Yisrael. He was very angry. You see, he wanted to fight a war against the Persians, and he wanted the Yidden to help him.
How come the Yidden didn't help?
The Yidden didn't help because they promised the Persians that they won't help. But the Kutim did help him. And the Kutim, they told Alexander that the Yidden are his enemies and that he should destroy the Beis HaMikdash.
So what happened? What stopped him from destroying the Beis HaMikdash? I mean, if it wasn't elephants.
Shimon HaTzadik, the great Kohen Gadol, marched toward Alexander. He was holding torches and he walked with the other Kohanim. Alexander was marching toward him. Everybody was very frightened. When he got close, Alexander looked and he said,
"Who are those people? What? I've never seen such people before. But wait, maybe I did. Oh, let me get off my chariot and bow down toward you."
"Alexander the Great, why are you bowing down before this Jew?"
"Quiet, you fool! This is no ordinary person. What are those clothes that you're wearing?"
"These are the big day kahuna."
"Why, every time I go to battle, I have a vision. You stand in front of me and bless me. Oh, all the blessings in the world come through you. Does it not?" "Oh.
Please, do not destroy the Beis HaMikdash. We Jews are your friends, not your enemies. We didn't come to help you because we just don't want to get involved in wars. We just want to be left alone to do our avodah."
Oh, you have nothing to worry about, Shimon HaTzadik. I will never, never destroy the Beis HaMikdash."
And he kept his word?
He sure did. As a matter of fact, for a time, the 25th of Tevis, when this happened, was a Yom Tov. And all boys that were born that year were named after him.
Eh? All boys were named after him?
Yitzchak, you have any friends named Sender?
Yeah, I got one friend. He's a real Indian giver.
What?
Every time I send him a letter, he sends it back to me. He says, "Return to Sender."
Oh, Yitzchak. Do you have a friend named Sender?
Sure, my chavusa. Sender Twitzelhamfer.
Well, you should know that Sender is really Alexander. And in a sense, he was named after Alexander.
Hey? Alexander's last name was Twitzelhamfer?
No.
Can you imagine what it was like when his teacher took attendance? Okay, Alexander the Great, Twitzelhamfer, are you here? There was probably no place in the roll book for anyone else.
Yitzchak!
Sender's first name, not his last name, his first name comes from Alexander. And as an honor to him, all the baby boys that were born that year were named Alexander. And you know how it is, people name children after their grandfather, and therefore, you have a friend named Sender. You understand?
I don't. Maybe Sender does.
Anyway, I really don't think that he went to school. His father hired one of the great philosophers to teach him.
Sender's father?
No, Alexander's father. He hired Aristotle. Oh, never mind.
Well, if he didn't take over Eretz Yisrael, where did he go from there?
He went to take over Egypt. There's a famous Greek city named Alexandria.
Why, what a coincidence. It sounds so similar to his name.
No. He named the city Alexandria after he took it over. And there were many Yidden there.
Really?
Yeah, some of the Yidden were brought there not because they wanted to in the course of the wars. As a matter of fact, The Gemara in Masech Sukkah tells us about a big, beautiful base of Medrash in Alexandria.
Yeah, like a little shtiebel?
Not a little shtiebel. It was huge. So big, you couldn't even hear the Baltfila answer Amen.
So how did the people know when to answer Amen?
Well, there was someone who stood by the bima, and he waved a big flag.
Huh? I bet it was very hard to get front seats over there, Mizrach seats.
You know how it went? The Gemara says all the goldsmiths sat in one place, and all the carpenters sat in a different place.
Why? They were snobs?
Chas v'shalom, just the opposite. If a poor visitor came, he recognized men of his trade, and he associated with them. And they would make sure that he would earn a livelihood for him and his family.
Wow, sounds good. Can we go see the place today?
I'm afraid not. The Gemara says Alexander killed them all out.
How come they deserved such a punishment?
Because the Torah says that Yidden are not to return to Mitzrayim.
That Russia, Alexander. Why, if I would get a hold of him, I would give him some sack.
Well, I'm afraid you won't be able to get a hold of him. Alexander died when he was 33 years old.
That's all?
That's right. After conquering most of the world, he suddenly died in sleep. They say he was poisoned.
I'll bet that taught him to act like a mensch. Who took over, his son?
No. He had a son, but his three generals really fought over the kingdom.
Ah, so they chose it out.
They didn't choose it out. They fought wars. Talmai got Egypt and Eretz Yisrael.
Talmai? Where did I hear that name before?
Well, actually, there was a whole dynasty of Talmais. One of them loved books, and he had a large library.
Yeah, I'll bet he didn't have six sets of Mishneh Berurah and four sets of Pnei Yeshua like I got.
Why do you have so many?
Got them for my bar mitzvah.
Why don't you trade them in?
I didn't finish all of them yet.
Those design you benched.
You too. But where did I hear Talmai's name?
Talmai gathered 72 Zakenim, and he forced them into 72 different rooms, and he ordered them to translate the entire Torah.
Oy vey.
Oy vey is right. There were certain things they felt that they had to change so that Russia should not see what the Pasuk says and therefore misunderstand it.
Yeah, but they couldn't communicate with each other.
Well, they all changed the same things. You know how?
They had cell phones.
They had Ruach HaKodesh.
What were some of the things that they changed?
Well, for example, instead of Bereshis, Bara Elikim, they said Elikim, Bara Bereshis.
They couldn't read straight?
Please, we're talking about Chazal over here. The reason they changed it was because if it would have said Bereshis, Bara Elikim, Talmai would have said that Bereshis created Hashem.
That Talmai. I'm so foolish, you know. It's hard to talk to a foolish person.
Yeah. Anyway.
What else did they change?
Well, for example, the Torah says not to eat a rabbit. You shouldn't eat an arneves.
So why did they change that? What is wrong with eating a rabbit? What's wrong with eating a rabbit? Why did they change that?
You know what Talmai's wife's name was? Arneves. They didn't think that Talmai would be all that happy if there would be a pasuk in the Torah that says don't eat his wife.
Yeah, I get the point.
Well, the Yidden of Mitzrayim were very happy when they translated the Torah. They made a Yom Tov. They called it Septuagint.
Huh? What?
They thought that all the Goyim will respect them now that they can read the Torah.
Is that what happened? Did all the Goyim respect them afterwards? And anyway, how can we have yeshiva on this Yom Tov, whatever?
Hanechtigetag, Chazal never referred to it as a holiday. On the contrary, Chazal referred to it as a day of darkness.
Why?
Some cipher explains. Because now, well, until then, even the Goyim had respect for the Torah. They know no one can truly understand it. But now that it was translated, they thought that they understood it. And once you take it out of Lashon Kodesh, you don't see the real sides. You don't see the real secrets. And anyway, big tzaras began after.